News number 3.
At 18 hours universal time, here is the news on the Voice of America. I'm Frances Alonzo in Washington. Arab foreign ministers are meeting in Cairo to discuss the continuing crisis in the Middle East peace process. VOA's Douglas Roberts in the Egyptian capital reports the ministers are urging the United States to do more to get the peace talks back on track.
Addressing Saturday's opening session at the Arab League's Nileside headquarters, Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat repeatedly blamed the Israeli government for the collapse of the peace talks. Mr. Arafat and several of the Arab foreign ministers praised what they called the balanced U.S. approach to the Middle East, articulated by Secretary of State Madeleine Albright during her recent tour of the region. But they also urged Washington to persuade Israel to reaffirm its commitments to the basic principles of the negotiations, the land for peace formula enshrined in U.N. Security Council resolutions. There have been calls at the Cairo meeting for a pan-Arab boycott of an upcoming Middle East economic conference to protest the lack of progress in the peace talks. But Egypt's foreign minister Amr Moussa says a final decision on whether or not to attend the conference will be left up to individual Arab governments. Douglas Roberts, VOA News, Cairo.
Dozens of young Palestinians have demonstrated near the East Jerusalem buildings taken over by Jewish settlers last Sunday. The youth threw stones at Israeli police, who fired rubber bullets. Protesters also burned a tree and toppled garbage cans to block a street of the Ras Al-Mud district. The settler families moved out of two houses in the Arab district late Thursday, but they were replaced by 10 Jewish seminary students. Palestinians say the Israeli action is an example of Israel trying to expand its presence in disputed areas before the start of negotiations on a peace deal. International aid agencies have evacuated most of their foreign staff from the embattled northern Afghan city of Mazar-e Sharif. The first plane to reach Pakistan's capital, Islamabad, brought 15 United Nations employees and 3 aid workers. Other flights delivered 52 evacuees, most of them Red Cross workers, to Pakistan. That group of evacuees included some dependents of aid workers and some local employees. The United Nations and the Red Cross had been trying for days to withdraw their staff from the city, but factional fighting in and around Mazar-e Sharif hampered efforts. Close to 1 million people have taken to the streets in Milan and Venice to support Italian unity in the face of a political separatist drive. The Venice mayor, Massimo Caracci, said he had never seen such an imposing demonstration. The rally was organized by the 3 largest trade unions and supported by members of Italy's center-left governing coalition. An outspoken Russian lawmaker has launched a political movement aimed at forcing President Boris Yeltsin out of office. But while analysts say it's unlikely to achieve that, the movement could unite opposition to military's reforms in Russia. VOA's Michelle Kellerman has a story from Moscow.
Retired General Lev Rokhlin wore his military uniform at the first session of his new movement and vowed to lead peaceful protest to force Mr. Yeltsin to step down. He's calling his group the Movement in Support of the Army, the Defense Industry, and Military Science. More than 1,000 people went to the meeting, including Communist Party leader Gennady Zhuganov and Mr. Yeltsin's former bodyguard, Alexander Kushakov. Retired General Alexander Lebed, who's expected to run in the 2000 presidential elections, was in Japan at the time of the meeting, but has offered to cooperate with the new movement. Lev Rokhlin was a commander early on in the war in Chechnya and was until recently a member of the pro-government Our Home is Russia party. He left the party but remains chairman of the Defense Committee in the lower house of parliament. Michelle Kellerman, VOA News, Moscow.
Serbian voters are to choose a new legislature and president Sunday, but are being asked to boycott the ballot box to protest election condition. Members of the opposition want more than half of the voters to stay home, so the election will be invalid. The British government has reaffirmed its commitment to bringing to trial 2 Libyans suspected of bombing a U.S. airliner over Lockerbie, Scotland, nearly 10 years ago, killing 270 people. A government spokesman was responding to media reports that the government had given up hope of bringing the 2 suspects to trial. Jim Squire, whose daughter died in Lockerbie's incident, says Libya's insistence the Libyans can't get a fair trial in Britain is understandable.
The British relatives accept that if we can't have trial in Scotland, and if the roles were reversed and Americans were accused of blowing up a Libyan airliner, I'm quite sure they wouldn't go for trial in Libya, then trial in a neutral country, which is on offer in writing from the Libyans, should at least be attempted.
Libya has refused to turn them over for trial in Britain or the United States, prompting United Nations sanctions against Tripoli. A gunman in Latvia appears to have gone on a killing spree, shooting 7 people dead as they picked potatoes in a field. The Baltic News Service, quoting the Riga Interior Ministry, said the victims, many of the same family, were working in a field when attacked. An 8th person was wounded. Police say the gunman might have been acting out of revenge. They said he blamed the victims for a fire that destroyed his home. Iran's news agency has confirmed the prison sentence of one given to an editor and journalist. That's coming up. This is VOA News. Iran's news agency has confirmed the prison sentence of 1 year given to editor and journalist Faraj Sarkoohi. The agency says an Islamic Revolutionary Court found him guilty of having secret contacts with some Europeans and of involvement in anti-state propaganda. The Iranian agency confirmed the sentence took into account the time that Mr. Sarkoohi has already spent in custody. The jailed journalist telephoned his wife in Berlin Thursday and said he had been convicted of spreading propaganda against Iran and would be in prison until January. The Pakistani government has removed the nation's 2 top intelligence officials from their sensitive jobs. As VOA Islamabad correspondent Meredith Buell reports, the action comes just days after 5 Iranian Air Force technicians were murdered in a terrorist attack.
Official sources and news reports say Rafiullah Niazi has been removed from his post as Director General of the Intelligence Bureau. The Director General of the Federal Intelligence Agency, Mian Mohammad Amin, has also been forced to resign. Officials said Chaudhry Manzoor has been named to head the Intelligence Bureau, while Inayatullah Niazi is the new Director General of the Federal Intelligence Agency. The decision to replace the intelligence chiefs was apparently made at a meeting of the Pakistan President and Prime Minister. The removal of Pakistan's top intelligence officials comes days after the ambush of 5 Iranian Air Force technicians in Rawalpindi. The Iranians and their Pakistani driver were killed by 3 unidentified gunmen firing automatic weapons. 3 suspects are in custody and are being questioned by police. An extremist Muslim group has claimed responsibility for the attack. Meredith Buell, VOA News, Islamabad.
Finance ministers from industrial and developing nations are satisfied with the pace of world economic growth, but concerned about monetary turmoil in Southeast Asia. The ministers from the group of 24 developing nations and the group of 7 richest industrial countries are meeting separately in Hong Kong in advance of the annual meetings of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. G7 delegates say they are content with multilateral efforts to provide emergency aid to Thailand, but they will continue to closely monitor Asian financial markets. President Clinton used his weekly radio address to warn Congress he will veto legislation that does not fund his efforts to develop voluntary national education testing standards. The president criticized both houses of Congress for opposing what he calls administration efforts to improve public education.
Our administration has been helping charter schools to get started all across our country, and our balanced budget contains funds to establish hundreds more of them all around America. This is an innovation we cannot afford to lose.
In the Republican response, Senator Slade Gordon of Washington State said Congress only wants to cut federal bureaucracy and give parents and teachers a greater say in what children learn at school.
All of us want the best education possible for our kids. We all want them to succeed. A good education unlocks the future, provides a lifetime key to open doors of opportunity, and helps our children reach their dreams. We can provide that opportunity to our children by restoring the role that parents, teachers, and principals need to play in education.
Republican Senator Slade Gordon of Washington State. These are the Hours News headlines. Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat urges Arab states to freeze normalization with Israel as long as the peace process remains stalled. Young Palestinians and Israeli police clash near the East Jerusalem building taken over by Jewish settlers last Sunday. And international aid agencies evacuate most of their personnel from the embattled northern Afghan city of Mazar Sharif. That's the news on the Voice of America. I'm Frances Alonzo in Washington.
听力课堂，欢迎你！
听力课堂，欢迎你！听啊，点儿看。